Guten Tag, Damen und Herren. Welcome to Solo Travel Talk.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Bonjour, ni hao. Welcome in, dear listeners. In this practical episode of Solo Travel Talk, Astrid is going to share with you tips for traveling to locales where you don't speak the language. For the purpose of this show, we're talking about English speakers going to non-English speaking places, but we're sure some of the tips are universal. Astrid, some people state that English is everywhere worldwide, but you've traveled to plenty of places where English isn't spoken or is not so common.
Well, before we get into the show, I'll have to say something. I lost my voice at the beginning of this week, so I think this is kind of funny that we're
talking about language.
Yeah, but so if I sound a little not like myself, it's because my voice totally hasn't come back yet. But I live in Louisiana. We have a lot of, I have a lot of problems with allergies, and I got a little bug, and so. But I'm off to California next week, and I had to tape this show and another show. So here I go.
But we're glad you're here. We're glad you're doing it.
Well, thank you. Yes. Well, first of all, you know, English really is the universal language now, and especially in business. But, you know, and you'll find it widely spoken in Europe and obviously any country that had a British tradition or their presence in the past. So, you know, there are a lot of areas that really do speak English and understand it. But if once you get out of those areas, you go to the third world and the developing world, oh, no, no, no. They don't speak English. So that's why we decided, first of all, to talk about when you go to countries that the people don't speak the language, can you really have a good time there or whatever? What I have found is when you go to these developing countries, most of the people can understand some English. They can actually also read some. Now, in China and some of the larger countries where there are a lot of people who have not had the opportunity to learn any English in school, you know, it's a little bit different. But it's the speaking fluency that is the problem, number one. And then also, if you go to countries where the script of the language is different, say in China, in Thailand, in Russia, you know, those are countries where it becomes more difficult. What I've also found, though, that in these countries, they, like I said, they do have some kind of feel, especially the people who work with foreigners. I mean, they, for one, have got to have a certain level of speaking fluency, and their understanding and their ability to read, obviously, is on a much higher level. But even the shopkeepers that you come in contact with that really don't have a lot of fluency, they've been affected by the internet, by television, just technology in general, and they really, more and more people really do understand more than you think. So, with that said, people are understanding English more and more. I'd say the worst places that I've traveled to where the language barrier was the worst were basically the countries that have a different grip, like Russia, Vietnam, Thailand. They write in Sanskrit, or their script is kind of like a Sanskrit. China, the UAE, some of the Arab countries, when they, you know, their script is in Arabic. Those are the countries that are the most difficult. Just know that. But if you stay in good hotels, and like what I do when I go to some of these countries where, oh my gosh, I cannot read or I can't understand anything, I'll actually hire a private guide. And this has worked out great. The concierge at your hotel, if you're staying at a five-star, a good hotel, they speak English. The personnel, for the most part, have some fluency. They're trained. And so you're fine at the hotels. And the concierge will get you a private guide. And that has been a lifesaver for me in these countries where it's the language really is a problem.
Is there part of it that is like an urban versus rural issue? So the closer you are to a major city, the more English you're going to be able to use or familiarity, and the further you get out, that's going to be less and less?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it does also boil down to how much they were exposed to it in school. You know, did they have the option to learn English in elementary school and all the way through high school, and if they had, higher education, college, or whatever. So I know I'll give an example. My Chinese guide, I was so amazed by this lady. She could speak, I think, 7 different languages. And I used her for 4 days when I was in Beijing. And I'm going to tell a little story about her later in the broadcast, or maybe it's not going to be in this one, it'll be in the next one. But I really did like her. She was a woman that had been raised in the countryside, and she told me, she said, "You know, my mother is the happiest person that I know. She can't read, she can't write. She goes to sleep when the sun goes down. She gets up when the sun comes up. And she sings all day long while she works in the fields." My guide had come from a very poor peasant farming family in China. But she could speak all of these languages just impeccably. I mean, I was completely in awe of her. And that was another reason why I used her every day, because I just wanted to I wanted to do business with her. I wanted to get to understand her. I wanted to show compassion and be a friend to her. And I wanted to be around her. You know, I thought that was, I really did like her. So, yeah, but she was an exception. She obviously, just in terms of natural genetic ability, had the ability to do it.
She had a gift for the for languages, yeah. Do you think that people who are traveling should try to learn a few phrases or just being able to communicate a little bit in the language of the place that they're visiting? Or do you find that people don't really appreciate that?
Oh, I think you absolutely should try, because I have found that foreigners really do appreciate when you try to say a few words in their language. They look at you and they think, well, at least she's trying, and she has some respect for our culture and our language, and she's not totally a non-cosmopolitan American.
Yeah.
Because really, most foreigners feel like Americans are smart, but they are just really poor in the linguistic department. I mean, when you go to Europe, most people speak one or two languages. It's just commonplace. And in other places around the world, too, they'll speak more than one language. Now, it might be like in China, Mandarin, and then there are several dialects, and I don't totally know them. But the bottom line is people around the world are a little bit more conscious of the importance to be able to speak another language. And I don't know. It's probably really more cultural, and they have to use it. See, that's what I think our issue is in the United States. I mean, we have it offered in school, elementary schools, etc. But if you don't use the language, I mean, you really, it takes you a little bit, a while to kind of get it back to a fluent level or to a fluent level to begin with. So, you know, when you attempt to say a few words or phrases in a foreign language, what I've always found is the people will be friendlier to you, they'll be more helpful, and they'll be more open. And it kind of just starts a bonding process, okay? And I also always think, well, you never know when the help of a stranger is gonna help you solve a problem, especially when you're a solo traveler. So, you know, you never know when you're saying hello to somebody or good morning, and then something goes wrong, and that person is the only person that has any kind of interaction with you at that point or whatever, that you can turn to. It's amazing kind of how that works. But Catherine, I'm bilingual, and everybody's listening, I'm bilingual, and I'm lucky because German was spoken in my home. My grandparents and my mother, my whole, that side of my family is from Berlin, Germany. So I learned it as a child in terms of understanding what had been said. I never really could read it because I wasn't forced to do that. So when I went to high school and college, I took classes, and then I eventually went to work in a student exchange program and got my fluency up, which was a little difficult at first, even though I could understand it and knew what they were saying. But flipping from English into another language and thinking that way and then letting it just flow out like, you know, you would in your normal language, it's some kind of brain thing that yeah. just kicks in. So I do feel for people that don't have the opportunity to really have to speak a language, even if they've learned it, et cetera. But I do think if you can speak another language, it helps. And I've used German before in countries that German wasn't spoken, Poland, Russia, Hungary. You know, if I don't have my phone, which has my app or whatever, and I'm just trying, we're making some small talk or whatever, and I'll say sprechen Sie Deutsch or whatever, and, you know, it'll help. So I don't have to break the flow or whatever. So I've also found, too, that foreigners, when you start trying to say things in their language, I mean, they'll like it. They'll like it. But then they see that, you know, you speak English, and they want to speak English with you. Mm. They want to practice with you. And so I always let them do it because they're really proud, because they know you can't say much, but they really can say a lot more. So I let that happen too. But the two countries really that I have found that don't appreciate you trying to say anything are France and Germany. They just kind of look at you like, eh. You know,
nice try, buddy.
But don't let that stop you. I mean, I only had one bad experience one time in France, and it was in the city of Rennes, and I had to change some money. So I had to go into a bank, and so I was trying to say a few things. I can say things a lot of times, but my accent and where I put the inflection, and I don't sound French or whatever I'm trying to talk. I mean, I guess when you come from Louisiana, it's hard to get rid of something that's in the Southern way that you express yourself. But I went into this bank, and I was trying, and the person just looked at me like, oh, I mean, she didn't even really want to wait on me because she was so put off at just what I was trying to say and how I was saying it in French. So, you know, if that happens to you, you just kind of have to, like I said, shake it off, shake it off.
And that's really kind of the stereotype is France kind of getting into that, appreciating it.
And it doesn't happen as much in the big, in Paris or Lyon or Nice. It is more in the countryside or the secondary cities a little bit more, like where there are not a lot of tourists and that kind of thing. But, of course, you know, and then the tours that you take, you're not going to be doing that in another language. I've done it before, and you miss a lot. So, but there's so many tours now that English is spoken. And then the museums, they have the little earphones that, you know, you can walk through and look at everything, and everything's explained in English. And then there's a lot of written English around. Now, you know, in Russia and a lot of places in China, in the Far East, there's not as much English written. It can be a problem.
And we don't want any problems for our travelers, our solo travelers. So what should solo travelers know about language for their own travels, Astrid?
Okay, well, it's this kind of common sense. Just learn a couple of basic words and phrases, like your normal greetings. Hello, goodbye, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. And practice them before you leave home. And when you're, you know, once you're on your trip, practice them. When you get to the hotel, greet the bellman, you know, guten Tag or whatever, and warm up. Keep trying to say these words that you feel like an idiot saying, or do I sound right? But just keep doing it, and you know that helps you warm up. As basically, I could, you know, say that, and do it with the service personnel when you walk into a shop. In fact, in France, if you don't say bonjour when you walk into places, they automatically think, oh, well, she is rude, you know, because everybody in France, when they go into place, they say bonjour and au revoir. You know, they just do it. And if you don't do it, oh, they remember it. Okay, then some simple commands. Yes. No, stop, please, and thank you. And I have found please and thank you, oh, those are magic words in many places, because in a lot of countries, the people among themselves never say please and thank you, which is foreign to our culture, or especially to a Southern culture, because we're like, yes, ma'am, yes.
Yes, ma'am, we are, yes, ma'am.
Please, thank you. You know, at least in my day and time, that was just drilled into you. So please and thank you are wonderful. And, you know, you get a lot better service. And it does something about whatever interaction that you're having with people. So I really suggest you learn those two words, as well as yes, no, and stop. Then, since I like to shop so much, and I'm sure most of you will at least buy a few things, how much, too much, good, and bad. So those are a couple of simple ones. Now, you know, you're going to be eating every day, and the food words, those, they're more difficult to learn, but most of the restaurants around the world do have English version menus. Now, if you start going into the more exotic countries and the smaller resort areas or whatever, sometimes, you know, you won't have the English menu option, but they will have pictures of the food. So you can figure it out. A lot of times you can figure it out. Plus, a menu is usually organized in the same way that it's organized in the English-speaking countries, with appetizers, soups and salads.
And entrees.
Yeah, and your chicken dishes, your beef, and this kind of thing. So, you know, you can kind of figure it out, okay? And then, you know, you'll probably be taking some type of tour, whether it's within a museum or some kind of walking tour or a day tour to, say, one time I took a day tour to Giverny, I can't even say it, another French word, where Monet lived and painted outside of France. And, oh, it was just a lovely, lovely tour. And it was in English. I would have never taken it in French. I would have missed the whole thing, except how beautiful his gardens were in his home. So the tours are, you know, there's so many opportunities now with English-speaking tour guides. So that's not really a problem. Also, museums, they're great now, most all over the world, because they cater to tourists. They know there are a lot of English-speaking tourists, so you'll have the little headphones, and it'll be translated in English and many other languages. So, the main things that you're going to see, you're going to be able to have some kind of explanation, whether it's in written form or you can listen to it. But anything more than that, anything basically more complicated, you need to learn how to use an app. Because the apps that are available now that translate are absolutely fantastic. Technology is great now. If you have a smartphone and you get a good translation app, you can work out any language problem. I mean, it's completely changed the language barrier. You don't really have to worry about it at all if you know how to do this. I like Google Translate. It's my favorite. I didn't start out using that one, but it's my go-to now. Yeah, I mean, it is the best. First of all, it translates about 100 languages, English into 100 languages. You can do all kinds of things on it. You can type in a word and a phrase, and it comes out written in English and in the language. If that language is written, say, in Sanskrit or Arabic or whatever, it comes out also in that script. So if you're trying to say something to somebody and they can't read English script, it'll come in the script in the language that you're speaking. Fabulous. Then on top of that, you can speak into the phone and it translates and it will speak back the answer or what you've just said. It's just marvelous. Another thing is you can speak something and then email it to someone.
Oh, really?
Yes. You can also take photographs and say something that will be printed on the photograph, either in English or in the English script or in the script of the country, the language that you're in. There's so many different kinds of options with Google Translate. It's fabulous. And so what I want to do today on air is basically go to Google Translate, and Catherine, if it doesn't come through you can't hear it in our equipment, then you'll have to take it out of the show. But I wanted to kind of show everybody what it sounds like and how easy it is to use, because, you know, I'm a baby boomer, and anything with technology, oh, my God. I don't like it. Okay. I'm going to say a few phrases, and I have it on English to Italian. So I'm going to press the little speaker, and the first thing I'm going to say is, "Hello, my name is Astrid." Hello, my name is Astrid.
Ciao, il mio nome è Astrid.
Ciao. Good job.
Cool, isn't that? Okay. Then I'm going to say, where is the restroom? Where is the restroom?
Dov'è il bagno?
One more. How much does this cost?
Quanto costa questo?
Isn't that cool?
That's really cool.
That is so cool. And it'll do it for 100 languages.
Very nice.
So what you can do is you can write down the things that you want to learn and speak them in there and listen to them coming back and try to say them again. And I mean, it's like a little tool that you can learn just some basic things about the language. And then if you get into any tight spot, you don't have a tight spot. You can just go to this app and start communicating.
Very nice. I like it.
So I think that's really cool. Another thing which is so good with that app is if somebody in another language is trying to say something back to you, say, you know, you're translating from English to Chinese, and they can't say anything in English, and they know what you're saying now, then you flip it from Chinese to English, and right. they talk into the phone, and it comes back in English.
Well, and I think Google Translate has like a it'll detect language, so you don't have to fiddle with it. It'll just start picking up whatever language you're trying to talk to it. Right? Is that right? Or
oh no, the one I have, I always have to key it in.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. So maybe it depends on what version you've got, but yeah. So, but it's flexible. You can do it from whatever other language to English and English back to that other language. Perfect.
Right. So that I think that is like, I mean, no problemo from that point on. When they can speak into your phone and in their language it's translated into English, you shouldn't have any problem with what is being said or any kind of miscommunication.
Perfect.
Now, I did start out with an app called Voice Translator. I don't use it anymore. It only translates 20 languages, and it had a harder time understanding my Southern accent. You know, I mean, I know we've all heard now things in technology where you know that the voice speaking in whatever you're viewing is kind of a machine voice. And I think some of the apps and everything, they're geared to certain voice in words, et cetera, and how they're said, and they don't pick them up as readily. Yeah. So Google Translate, A-okay, love it, love it, love it. So I just basically end the podcast by saying, you know, don't worry about the language barrier. You're going to get by. And because I couldn't speak a language, it's never kept me from traveling to a country that I wanted to go to. You know, the most difficult places that I've been are really Russia and China. And like I shared with you, when I wanted to go, like, to say the Summer Palace or some of the things that I couldn't walk to, etc., I hired a guide, and that was great because she took great care of me. We got a driver. We got there. She explained everything. It was just really good, and likewise in Russia. Then get an app. They're a lifesaver. Practice with them before you leave, so when you're there, you won't get, you know, kind of worried and think, oh, I can't do this. So practice. Try to learn a few phrases and words, and, you know, when you get there, start practice them, even if it sounds weird. Like there's one thing I used to always, in China, there's a word called shisha or shisha. And I don't really say it totally right, but that's thank you.
Shishi.
Yeah. 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 You know what I say? Or good. Or, you
yeah.
know. And
how.
Yeah. And but I would try to say it. And
yeah,
they go, hee.
Yeah.
And then there is another tip. Always when you're traveling to a foreign country, get a copy of the hotel's card. Especially when you're in these countries where the language is written in another script.
Mm.
So if there's a problem, you can show the taxi cab driver specifically what the address is written in there. Because maybe even with the Google app or Translate, you might have a little bit of a problem. So that's one of my tips. Always get a card or two and have it in your backpack or your wallet or whatever. So you know, just go with the flow and go for it because, you know, don't ever let the language barrier stop you from traveling solo.
Well, in any language, you should get ready to pack your bags. Astrid has a fabulous and thorough packing list. You can get your own complimentary copy. Just go to astridtravel.com. You can get the packing list immediately. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Did you know they dropped the iTunes now? They're fancy saying Apple Podcasts.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. So you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. This podcast is still there, Solo Travel Talk. You can also listen on SoundCloud or Stitcher or any of the places that you find podcasts. For all of Astrid's information and tips, you can always go to her website, astridtravel.com. Thank you so much for listening. We should say it in every language we know. Do you want to say it in German?
Danke und auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen. Tschüss, au revoir, and we'll see you next week on Solo Travel Talk.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.